Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the people who come out to sit at your table. I thank you that you've already started works within this sanctuary, and I know you're going to complete it, Father. Now, Father God, let your angelic host move to and through throughout these chairs. And Father God, give the miracles that the people need. Start releasing your miracles, Father God, even this day. And Father, answer the prayers, Father God, for your children. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I got up during the night, got awake during the night, and this is what God was speaking to me. It is time for the lighthouse to cut the cord of the world and leave it all behind. It is time to rise up early and call upon my name and stand in the gap for the world that is lost and dying. It is time for all my people at the lighthouse to rise and shine and make a pathway of truth for others to follow. This day, this morning, this hour, I say unto you, Lighthouse, it is time to cut the cord from the world and go forth seeking those who are lost and dying. I have been preparing you for this hour, and this hour has arrived. Now, right now, cut the cord and move on in holiness and purity of heart, and save the lost and dying from the utter destruction they are in. Now, God said it was for the lighthouse. So you guys who are here all the time, God said now is when we need to do this thing. You've been prepared, and now you need to go ahead and go forth and do the things that God is calling you forth to do. I'm going to teach about God's grace to the prophets, because there's a whole lot of things going on that aren't right. Prophets are not being honored the way they should be honored. And this is making God up very upset. And so we just want to read some scriptures this morning. And we want to talk about Miriam and what she did to God's man of the hour. So 1 Chronicles 16:20 says, when they went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another, God permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. So when the prophets went from one nation to another and from one kingdom to another, God permitted no man to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sakes, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. So if you're an anointed one of God, and you might not be a prophet, you could still be anointed one of God. God is upset when people are touching his anointed. Matthew 10:40. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. This is Jesus speaking. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. So anytime you're doing anything good for the Father, and you're doing it in the name of Jesus, then there's a reward for you. Now Matthew 10:40 says, he who receives, oh, I just did that, didn't I? Sorry, I doubled that up. Okay, let's go over to Jesus taught. Jesus taught us to receive the prophet, knowing, number one, that there was a great blessing to be had because of the prophet, and number two, that faith would be required to press through, knowing that a number of false prophets existed at the time. Now, the false prophets are on the scene today also. So not everybody that speaks a prophetic word is really a true prophet. That's why you have to have discernment, check the fruit out, and make sure whoever's prophesying over you is truly of God. Now, let's look at Miriam today. Miriam was Moses' sister. She knew God had called Moses as a leader to lead the Israelites out of bondage. She was there to witness the Exodus. She watched God display his mighty powers and his miracles in front of Pharaoh. She was there the night they all left Egypt, and she witnessed the parting of the Red Sea. She was there, she witnessed the entire thing, and she was a prophetess. All right? Now let's read Exodus 15:20. Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and its rider has been thrown into the sea. Here we see that the people of God have just experienced a tremendous God-given deliverance from their enemy. They are free people, and this song is composed to celebrate that victory. Now, you know, we're reading about the characteristics of Miriam right now and how she messed up. Now, Miriam led the women in their victory song. She was an influential leader of the women. They followed her in praise. We are also told here that she was a prophetess, a female prophet. That meant God spoke to her and spoke through her to the people. We don't know how many real prophets were in Israel over the years. Just a few are recorded. And these are the ones that I looked up and found. 2 Kings 22, 1 through 20 is the young lady, Huldah. Judges 4, 5 is Deborah. Luke 2, 36 through 38 is Anna. Nehemiah 6, 14 is Noadiah. And Isaiah 8, 3 was Isaiah's wife. Acts 21, 9, Philip's four daughters were also prophetess. Now, anybody that says that a woman needs to sit down and shut up, that God doesn't use them, they need to take it to God and argue with God about that, all right? Now, these were true prophetess. Now, I had a list of prophets, you know, that there's prophets and there's prophetesses, okay? You know, somebody that God calls is a real prophet. Well, you know, God does special things with them. But there are just people who just prophesy every now and then, and there is a difference. So these were true prophetess. Now, to be called a prophetess meant God was using her mightily. She had great influence for good, and then her failure came. The dissension of Aaron and Miriam. Miriam and Aaron bring an accusation against Moses. Miriam and Aaron criticized Moses' wife and his marriage. Nehemiah 12:1 said, then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses on the one hand. It seems strange that his sister and brother, his own family, would be the source of such criticism. We might think that they would be Moses' greatest support. That is not true. Anybody that's related to you will tear you down at the drop of a hat. They'll come against you at every turn, thinking they have a right to do that. All right. So I said we might think that they would be Moses' greatest support, yet it is not unusual for a prophet to be without honor among his own people. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 13:57. Now, because of the Ethiopian woman who he had married, this was the reason for the criticism. It may also be possible that Ethiopian here was a derogatory term used to criticize Sapphira because of a dark complexion. For he had married an Ethiopian woman, is what we just read, right? Interestingly, they criticized Moses and his wife over something she had no control over, her appearance, either because she was an Ethiopian, meaning an African-American, or had a dark complexion as an Ethiopian. She couldn't help that, right? Everybody will find something to criticize you for. Much criticism comes to pastors' wives and others in ministry over things they really have no control over. And as you go forth in the ministry, you will find that this is the truth. So get it down in your heart right now, in your spirit, that people are going to talk about you, and they'll find anything to talk about you. They don't care what it is. They'll conjure up something if there isn't something there. And they'll make other people believe the lie they just conjured up. Now, however, it seems that the complaint over Moses' wife was not the real issue, which was addressed in the next verse in Numbers 12:2, a challenge to Moses' spiritual authority. So they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. You know how many times I've picked up my pure spirit and people say, who does she think she is? She thinks the only one. She's the only one God speaks through. And I just have to laugh to myself because people were talking that in this church, or I wouldn't be picking up in my spirit. All right? All right, so you prophesy, so thank God you do. But leave me out of your problem. Don't bring me into your problem. If you're jealous of something and he's not using you the way he wants, that's your problem, not mine. Leave me alone. I'm doing the works that God told me to do. All right? All right, so has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? This attack attempted to put Moses down, making him seem proud. After all, it shouldn't have mattered to Aaron and Miriam if Moses was the only one God was speaking through. Their real charge was that Moses goes about acting as if he is the only one the Lord speaks through, accusing Moses of pride. There was only one leader for Israel, which was Moses. Under God's hand, Moses had the authority and the accountability to lead the people. There's only one leader in a church. You can't have 10. Because we all have different personalities. We all have different ways that we want to do things. And unless you're really doing it the way God wants it done, it's not going to be done right. All right? So Moses was the one that God called to lead his people. And Miriam ought to be glad she was along. And Aaron ought to be glad he was along to be in the headlines. Right? But that isn't what happened. Has he not spoken through us also, is what they said. This question was meant to lift Miriam and Aaron up. After all, God speaks to us also. Shouldn't we get some of the credit around here? Come on. I want you to think about this. God had spoken to Miriam and Aaron in the past, but he had not given them the authority to lead the nation. See, this is where the problem rises. The people want to be the leader. That's the whole problem. If you want to be a leader, go out and start your own church. You can be the leader of anything you want. You know, but make sure God's with you when you do it. And quit criticizing the leader God has placed wherever you might be. Can God give just one man the authority to lead his people? Of course he can. The Old and New Testaments are filled with this kind of leadership. It was Moses, Joshua, David, Daniel, James, Peter, Paul, Timothy, Titus, and of course Jesus, whose leadership style we are commanded to imitate, right? Every now and then we hear someone or other talking against a one-man ministry, and that's going around right now. From the commencement of the world to the present day, it has been a one-man ministry, and whenever you try to have any other form of ministry and doing it thoroughly and wholeheartedly and independently, you very soon run upon the Miriams and the Aarons. You know, there's one leader, but we need each other. Do you understand that? You know, and when God speaks to me, sometimes people say, well, how do I know he said, told you I should do that? Well, then you don't trust me as your leader, so you might as well go find another leader. I don't manipulate anybody. I really don't. And right now somebody's trying to manipulate me, and I'm really upset about it. And I told God, if you don't take care of it, I'm going to. I'm tired of being manipulated because the person that's doing it isn't even walking with God right, and they're trying to tell me what to do and boss me around. Get out of here. Amen? Come on. All right, and the Lord heard it. This is what the scripture said. You know, they were talking, and the Lord heard it. Well, it says, so they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Of course God heard it. He hears everything. God always does, and if he hears according to truth, not according to mere appearance. Miriam and Aaron, as is often the case, were accusing Moses of the very same sin motivating them to make the accusation, which is pride. You know, when the deliverance team first started, they said, who does she think he is? God's talking to us and we're doing the deliverance. And, you know, and I had to get that all straightened out. Yes, you are the deliverance team. I pointed you to the deliverance team, or God did. But after all, when God speaks something to me, I'm going to tell you what God says. Because you're under me, right? And you're not doing right, then I'm going to tell you. God said you're not doing right, and you have to get it together. Are you understanding this? Just like raising children, you don't let them raise you. You raise them. If they're doing something wrong, you have to tell them they're doing something wrong, or they'll keep doing something wrong. So you have to tell the children, hey, this isn't the way it's done. And I don't care if people like it or not. If your child's not doing the right thing, and I see them not doing the right thing, I'm going to tell them, you really shouldn't be doing that. I correct my kids all the time. You know, and I expect if I'm around yours, I'm going to correct yours. And I expect if you're in my church, each one you need to think. Now, you're leaders in here, right? And I'm teaching you what to do. If you have your church and you have the Aglo, you're the leader of the Aglo. Everybody else shouldn't be trying to tell you how to run the Aglo. And you shouldn't be leaning on other people to tell you how to run the Aglo. You should be leaning on Jesus. Amen. See, this is the problem. We want somebody else to help us run things, and it's God who wants to run the show. I wouldn't think of trying to tell Grace how to flag a flag. I don't know how to wave one myself. Why would I go to her and tell her how to wave a flag? Amen? She'd probably tell me to go sit down under her breath. Where am I at here? Okay. Numbers 12:3, the humble heart of Moses. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Now the man Moses was very humble. Now I looked that up and I searched and searched it. And some were saying Moses wrote that about himself. And I thought, that's dumb. He didn't do that. But they say Joshua, who was right beside him all the time, knew everything about Moses. And Moses, he wrote that Moses was a very humble man. All right. Now, Moses had no problem with pride. Quite the contrary. His accusers were the ones with a pride problem. We need to notice one thing here. This genuinely humble man, Moses, was accused of pride in a dictatorial manner. Anytime you're trying to do something for God and you're the leader and you try to tell somebody else what they're supposed to do because God told you to, they're going to get in your face. How dare you dictate to me? How dare you tell me how to do my job? Are you listening? This is going to happen, and you're going to have to know how to deal with it. So you can rest assured that the very same thing can happen to you. You know, I said we need to notice one thing here. This genuinely humble man, Moses, was accused of pride in a dictatorial manner. So you can rest assured that the very same thing can happen to you. But just because a man is accused of pride or arrogance doesn't mean he is guilty of it. You listening? Just because somebody says you do something, it doesn't mean you're guilty. Not unless you are. The shoe fits, put it on. But if it doesn't, don't get upset about it. Are you listening here, guys? More than all men who were on the face of the earth. He was more humble than all the men who were on the face of the earth. It is important to see Moses didn't start out as the most humble man on earth. He grew up proud and confident in his abilities. He was raised very well. It was desert time, the lowly time, that made him a humble and greatly usable man. Why was he out in the desert? Because he killed somebody, right? And he was running for his life. And it was while he was out there in the backside of the desert that God humbled him. Now, I also looked up the word humble. And they say the word humble in Greek and all that, their kind of stuff, you know, means miserable. And they said that what Joshua was saying was he had more sorrow than any man could deal with. And I imagine how many millions of people was he taking through the desert? I imagine he was miserable and a lot of sorrow, right? But anyhow, that's what they say humble means, so I don't know. You know, unless God says so, I really don't believe everything man says, do you? I don't care if you are a great scholar, you know, you could think anything, but unless God says it, I don't really count it. Is gospel. So we'll just use the word humble here. Now God answers the accusation of Miriam and Aaron against Moses in Numbers 12:4-5. God's dramatic appearance to Miriam and Aaron. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. I wouldn't want God to say this to me. Come out, you three, to the tabernacle meeting. So whenever God comes to the door and he says that, they know, well, we're in trouble, right? So the three came out, then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in front of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. I would not have wanted to walk forward at that point. Suddenly, there was no long delay. The word suddenly, there was no long delay. Many of God's judgments are long in coming, at least from a human perspective, but on occasion, he does bring his justice suddenly. I haven't seen that, have you? I wish we'd get a suddenly every now and then. All right, the second point is come out, you three, to the tabernacle meeting. God called seemingly in an audible voice. Isn't that what it sounds like here? Because it said he came down in the pillar of the cloud, right? And stood there. God called seemingly in an audible voice for all three to come before the tabernacle meeting. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud. God took a personal, powerful interest in this important matter. Don't you wish sometime he'd do that for you? Take a personal interest and come down and say, get out here. Amen. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud. God took a personal, powerful interest in this important matter. He wanted to make his will plainly known. Numbers 12:6-9, God's vindication of Moses. Then God said, "Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision." Now look, it's a prophet. Now listen to what he's saying. "I speak to him in a dream, but not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings, and he sees the form of the Lord." In other words, he said, "I've set this man apart." All right? I want you to get this, because you have to start respecting God's prophets. Then God went on to say, "Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" Seeing people in the house of God are not afraid to speak against God's servants. "So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed." He just asked them that question, then he left. Right? Isn't that what it says? All right, the first point is here, I speak with him face to face. The basis of the complaint of Miriam and Aaron was essentially, what's so special about Moses? God explained exactly what was so special about him. Isn't that what he just did there? Most prophets receive revelation through a dream or in a vision. God spoke with Moses face to face. And one time I said, "God, why don't I get any dreams? Why don't I get any visions?" He said, "Because I speak to you face to face. I speak to you audibly. I don't want to do dreams and visions with you." And so after studying about this, I thought, well, then I'm extra special. Right? Isn't that how you should feel? You should feel that way about yourself. Nobody else is going to feel that way for you. And I'm not dragging you into it. I'm just sitting there with God and me. Amen? What did it mean that God spoke with Moses face to face? Didn't the Lord say in Exodus 33:20, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live"? How then could God speak with Moses face to face? Now, how many of you here, God has prophesied you, "I'm going to speak to you face to face"? Let me see your hands. How many of you in here he said that to? Now, if he didn't say it, don't raise your hand. All right. Now, face to face is a figure of speech, telling of great and unhindered intimacy. Moses' face was not literally beholding the literal face of God, but he did enjoy direct, intimate conversation with the Father. So anybody in here that God has said, I'm going to speak to you face to face, it means you're going to become super duper intimate with the Father, and you're going to have one-on-one conversations with him. All right? This is also demonstrated by the phrase, "and he sees the form of the Lord." This is what Moses had actually seen of God with his physical eyes, only the form of the Lord. Remember, he said, "You can't look upon me, but, you know, hide in the cleft of the rock, and I'll pass by, and you'll see my back," right? He just saw the form of the Lord. Nothing specific, because he could not see the Lord and live. All right, second point. "My servant Moses, he is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings." Moses enjoyed remarkable communion with God. It is worth considering why. Because God needed a man this intimate with him, listen to this, to be a vessel of revelation and a proper leader for the nation. Through this remarkable time of the Exodus, this communion was a gift of the sovereign God to Moses. Now, if you want to speak to God face to face, and you're going to have to become intimate with him, and you're going to have to allow him to change you inside out, take everything that's not of him out of you so that you are a pure, holy vessel that he can pour himself into. And if you don't want to go to all that bother, then quit coming against those who did. Amen. Quit running down God's prophets who have paid the price to speak with God face to face. Because Moses was a humble man, only the humble, those who are genuinely other-centered, you know, you have to think about other people instead of yourself, you and your family and your household. Your attention has to go out into the community. All right. Because Moses was a humble man, only the humble, those who are genuinely other-centered, can be responsible for such communion with God. Some of you are really self-centered and all you think about is me, 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 me. Look what I'm going through. Look what I'm going through. You're never going to have face-to-face conversations with the Father. Well, I don't see why she allowed so-and-so to prophesy. I prophesy too, and she never uses me. You'll never have face-to-face conversations with God because you're jealous. Did you ever stop to think you're being tested and tried? When God uses somebody else and not you? Think about it. And the true you is coming forth. Well, how dare she give somebody else that job to do? I'm better qualified. Right there, you just disqualified yourself because you're so full of pride. Amen? All right, then. Because Moses, according to God, is faithful in all my house, his walk of righteousness and purity demonstrated over 40 years in obscure service of God in the smallest things revealed the faithful heart God saw in Moses. You know, God gives you little things, and he watches how you handle little things. And if you handle those little things well, then he gives you bigger things and bigger things and bigger things until he makes you, finally makes you a leader. But if you mess up in the little things, guess what? You're going to go back to first grade again, maybe even kindergarten, and start all over again. Because he needs a leader who is faithful and who is true and who is just, who is honest and upright. All right, the third point here is, why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? As much as Miriam and Aaron did not want to recognize it, Moses did have a unique calling and equipping before the Lord. They did not speak against Moses as a president of Israel as much as they spoke against Moses, the servant of God. You see what's going on here, guys? When you speak against one of God's servants, you are speaking against God. And you need to stop because it's going to get you in a whole lot of trouble. It was not that Moses was beyond criticism. Moses was not to be simply obeyed and praised and never confronted or asked the tough questions. Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, did confront Moses and ask him the tough questions, and he was greatly used of God in doing so. And this is Exodus 18, 12 through 24. I've had people confront me. I've had people sit down and ask me, why do you think you're able to do this, you know? So I answer them. And I've often said, I don't want you, I've told Brother Chris and Nancy them, I don't want you to be yes people. If I've done something wrong, I need to know about it. If I ask you, did I do something wrong? You don't say, no, you're just fine, when you know I'm not just fine, you know? You don't want yes people around about you. You want people who will be honest and upright and tell you the truth. Because how else are you going to excel and be the leader God wants you to be? Miriam and Aaron should have been afraid to speak against Moses because their criticism was petty and over something which was beyond control, the wife of Moses. When I first started the ministry, the first thing they said, well, your husband's a whoremonger. And I went home crying, you know, and God said, I didn't call him. I didn't call your kids. I called you. You have to keep yourself pure before me. Don't you worry about what everybody else in your family is doing. And so from that point on, I didn't worry about that anymore because it really did. It upset me. All right, God, then I'm out there and my husband's not right and my kids aren't right. But yet I'm out there and you're using me mightily and they're coming against me for that. He said, you just don't pay no attention to that. So if anybody in here, God didn't call, if he called you, he didn't call your friends, your kids. He called you. All right, he didn't call your neighbor. He didn't call me to be alongside of you. He called you. Remember that. Miriam and Aaron should have been afraid to speak against Moses because their criticism was simply not true. Moses was not a proud man, but the most humble man on earth. Did I skip one? No, I didn't. Okay. Miriam and Aaron should have been afraid to speak against Moses because their criticism was prompted by their own self-interest. They were jealous of all the attention Moses was receiving and wanted some of it for themselves. Do you know how much of that goes on in the body of Christ? My Lord. You know, really, you should be glad you're not getting the attention. Because the enemy won't fight you as hard if you're not getting all that attention. When the minute you start getting attention, the enemy's jumping on your head all the time. I'm just going to, you know, I've been really going through some really bad things. And so the God told me, you know, I had to get the deliverance team and told them some of the things he had to pray for. And they fasted a couple of days and they prayed for me. And while they was praying for me, I really thought I was dying. I told my kids to get yourself ready because I wasn't going to make it through the night. What the enemy was doing, you know, the whole thing is that the Jezebels were, and other people were trying to kill me. And while they were praying for me and getting these things out of me, they were literally trying to take my life. And it was horrible for a day and a night. I really went to bed that night. I didn't go to sleep, but I really thought I was never going to get up off that big bed again. I thought I was going to be dead. But when they was through praying, then it lifted. And I was still sick, but I got better as the hours went on because I had to do my part too then. But it was because of people, even in my family, that, you know, that know me and profess to love me, they were using, letting an enemy use them to come against me. And they were trying to kill me. And the enemy trying to take me out while they were doing it. I couldn't believe it, how bad I got. So you see, it wasn't anything I did. It was what those around about me that are jealous and don't understand the move of God talking about me and coming against me that allowed the enemy to have an open door to come into me. All right? Leaders in the house of God must make themselves accountable and open to criticism and questioning, but we do not have to be quiet targets for those whose criticism is petty, false, and self-motivated. All right? So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. After making his anger evident, the remarkable presence of God departed. He didn't say a word. He just was mad, and he left. How could you do that? That's what he said, right? This left an extremely uncomfortable pause for Miriam and Aaron. God's punishment for Miriam and Aaron. Numbers 12:10, Miriam is made a leper. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. And as I studied this, you know, what different people say, they were saying that she didn't really know she was a leper, but Aaron saw that she was leper first. Suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Leprosy was a disease of bodily decay and corruption. It was considered to be a walking death. We all, if you read the Bible, you know that's true. And Miriam had a seriously advanced case of leprosy instantly. Come on. At this moment, God caused her body to reflect her heart. See this? Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. It seems that Miriam did not immediately know this. The sense seems to be that Aaron noticed it first as he turned and looked. Numbers 12:11-12, Aaron's contrition. So Aaron said to Moses, "O my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly." See, he misses what he did, which we have done foolishly, and in which we have sinned. "Please do not let her be as one dead, whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb." So he's crying out to Moses now, "Don't let this happen. Oh, my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned." Aaron seems a man easily swayed. Swayed by a crowd that wanting an idol, remember? Swayed by his sister, who seemed to be the instigator, because she is named first and was first struck with leprosy. And now she now swayed quickly back to a humble submission before Moses. Amen. How many people do you know in the house of God like that? All right, the second point. "Oh, my Lord, please do not lay this sin on us." Now Aaron called Moses his master, attributed to Moses the power to strike Miriam with leprosy. And he said, "Moses, you could strike her with leprosy." And confessed his previous criticism as foolish and sinful. See, if you hadn't done it, all this wouldn't have happened anyhow, all right? Sadly, we can't seem to separate Aaron's immediate and dramatic change of heart from the threat that he might be the next victim of God's judgment. His confession seems full of self-interest. Numbers, isn't that right? Numbers 12:13, Moses prays for Miriam. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "Please heal her, O God, I pray." So Moses cried out to the Lord. This was the first word spoken by Moses in this chapter. He had not spoken the entire time he was accused, leaving it up to God to answer his critics. You know how many times I want God to vindicate me, and God said, "Daughter, you just leave it alone. In due time, I will vindicate you. But do it right now, God, please, because I would really like to see them, their faces." Amen. But he doesn't do that, so we have to just move on, and we just have to continue to put up with their mess. And until one day God will vindicate us, right? I don't even care if I don't care if he vindicates me or not. I used to really say, I cry, oh God, please, I'm not doing this terrible thing, please. And I don't care anymore. Think what you want to think. I really don't care. That's where you have to come to that place, leaders, or you'll die. People will crucify you. You will die. You just think, well, you're the stupid one, not me. You're the one that's in God's bad graces, not me. You just don't understand. You just come against one of God's chosen prophets. That's how I think, because that's what I am. Come on. Do you know what you are in Christ? Then why do you get upset when people come against you? You like still like to knock their teeth down their throat, but you know you don't do that because after all, you know God's going to vindicate you in due time. All right? So, when a leader perceives accusations are petty, false, or self-motivated, the right thing to do is to ignore them. And that is so hard. Leave them up to God and keep busy with what the Lord has called the leader to do. Isaiah 53:7, even as Jesus was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. It took me a little bit to get that to that point where I just kept my mouth shut. And when I cry out to God, vindicate me, vindicate me. Come down like you did Jesus. Bring a dove. Bring a loud voice. Tell them that I'm your beloved. Finally, I said, God, forget about all that junk. I'm just going to be your daughter, and I'm going to do what you call me for doing. One day, whether you vindicate me here on earth or not, doesn't matter. But one day, they'll know. Amen? Come on. So Moses says, please heal her, O God, I pray. When Moses spoke, it was in prayer for his accusers. Moses certainly was a man faithful in the Lord's house. Numbers 12, he didn't say they deserved it. Numbers 12:14-16 talks about the restoration of Miriam. Then the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? Moses wanted God to heal her. Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterwards she may be received again. He said, I'm going to make her pay a little bit for this mess. So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward, the people moved from Hazareth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. So God said, let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterwards she may be received again. God did, in fact, heal Miriam. If she were still a leper, she would not have been allowed to remain in the camp of Israel. Yet God allowed her to live with the outward display of her inward heart for 7 days and allowed the whole nation to know what she was all about. Aren't some of you glad in here that God doesn't do that to you and let everybody see what you're really all about? When you sit in private and come against the children of God and think you're all that and then some, your prideful little thing. Aren't you glad that God doesn't show people who you really are, unclothe you? What's he say? I'll lift your skirt. Isn't that what the word says? Well, don't be surprised if someday it happens, all right? So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days. This was appropriate because Miriam had done something even more shameful than spitting in her father's face. See that? Talking against Moses was more shameful, and spitting in your father's face was a shameful thing in those days. But talking about God's servant was even worse. Hello? She tried to bring down a leader of God's people with petty, false, and self-interested criticism. How many people sitting here today, you know people that try to bring down leaders all the time by their petty stuff that they go through? They won't pay a price for nothing, but they'll sure sit and criticize one of God's children who is going through hell and back to make sure that the glory of God falls. All right? Our instructions are clear when reading and studying this story with Moses and Miriam and Aaron. Honor and receive the prophet, and you honor and receive the one who sent him, who is God. Always remember that God dispenses justice to all. Even the greatest and holiest can't get away with doing wrong. Miriam and Aaron were holy, and they were great men and women, but God still came against them. Now, I was reading about all this and studying about all this, and they said the reason why God didn't strike Aaron is because he was a priest, and he needed a priest to intercede for the people. And I don't know if this is true. This is just what it said. That's why I didn't write it down. Then he needed a priest to intercede for the people. And if Aaron had leprosy, there wouldn't be any priest. So he didn't give Aaron leprosy. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. But if it is, that was a God that I'd really thank every day of my life. Amen. Well, then it correlated with David when David did something and God, I forgot what it was now, but anyhow, God led him there because he needed a king and he didn't wipe him out for the sin he did because he needed a king. Okay. That's how they correlated that. So it could be true. I don't know. I'm just telling you, maybe you might be sitting there, well, wonder why Aaron didn't get anything because after all, he was right there with Miriam, right? You know, so you might be in cahoots with somebody and you might get it real bad from God, but the other one doesn't. And you just have to ask God, how come you was so nice to me and didn't do anything to me? He might say, yours is coming. All right, I should always remember that God dispenses justice to all, even the greatest and holiest can't get away with doing wrong. Always remember that God's justice is custom tailored to each individual based on who the person is and what God expects from him or her. Are you listening here? Custom tailored. Depends on how great your calling is. Depends on what God is calling you forth to do. Depends a whole lot on where God's taking you to. One time a prophet said to Larry, he got mad because he wasn't allowed, that God told him he couldn't do something. And he said, it's because of the calling on your life, you can't do this thing. But that didn't make him quit being mad. All right. But you know, if you have a calling on your life, you're not going to be able to live like the world. You're not even going to be able to live like the church. Because the church is just as bad as the world. You're going to have to start living holy and pure. You're going to have to start living the way God's word tells you to live and not the way the church. I don't know what the church does, but the church is messed up. But one, the point that God's getting at here when he had me get this together is you have to start honoring his people. And you have to stop saying, well, the reason why they're going through this is that they do this, this, and this. That'll get you in a whole lot of trouble with God. All right, I'll talk about myself. Quit judging me. All right? God finally told me some of the reasons why I'm going through what I'm going through, and then he told me some more personally this morning what I was going through. But it's really none of your business. I'm just going through. At least I'm going through. You know, at least I'm fighting. At least I'm standing my ground, even though I still live in the middle of hell. I'm still standing my ground. What are you doing besides criticizing me? You know, and you know, you need to think about this self. When people start criticizing you, you need to say, you know, I'm special in God's eyes. I'm doing what God's called me to do. What are you doing besides criticizing me? You know, I'm just not saying me. Each one of you need to stop and think about this, because as a leader, when you go forth, all right, you know, you two, you're going to start, you're trying to start a home ministry. Do you know how many people's probably talking about you behind your back? I know them when. It doesn't matter if they knew you when. God knows you all the time. And you know, you just have to keep pressing on. You can't say, oh, well, yeah, I really did do that. It doesn't matter what you did. You just keep pressing on. And, you know, and let God handle them. God will take care of them. You know, when I first started here, the pastors actually came here and sat in the front row. And they were going to stand up and really put me down. And they stood up and cried and said, this is the woman of God. God wouldn't let them do that because I wasn't doing anything wrong. See, if you're doing something wrong now, you have something to fear. But if you're really in God's will and doing what God's telling you to do, you have nothing. You can go anywhere, do anything. You have nothing to fear. Wow. You say you're a child of God, and look how angry you get. Well, you know, that used to bother me until God said to my son got angry. And daughter, you have a right to get angry because you live in the middle of hell, and you have a right to get angry with the sin that's around about you. So I quit worrying about that too, you know. The Bible says be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. I can get really upset with you and tell you what I think about it. Then I'm done with it. I don't carry it around and go home and act like a fool with it and get myself sick and everything else. You have to be able to talk about something and then drop it. You don't carry it forever. You drop it. And if you're a person that can't stand somebody to tell you you're doing wrong, then you need to go and get redunked because you're not even saved. You're really not, because a child of God wouldn't act like that. I'm hearing God say, tell them they're not flawless. All right. And he's saying there's a lot of dead debris around about you. that he's trying to remove to make you holy and just and pure, and you won't let him do it because of the false accusations you're doing against his children. You could talk about Nancy, and that would really make God mad because you don't live her life. You know, and I thank God I don't have 8, 9 kids. All right, I read an article from this woman, and she said she'd homeschooled 3 kids and thought she'd lose her mind by the end of the year, each year. But she said, I didn't want to go out and kill my kids. You know, and I wouldn't want to have to sit there, and I have enough with 2. I wouldn't want to have to sit there and deal with, well, you have 8 children and a big one back there, 9. She has 9 children, yeah. And she has to juggle all this plus do her, don't talk about her. You see what I'm saying? If you want to talk, why don't you say, can I help you do something? Can I come and do something for you? Do something constructive, not destructive. So what God's trying to do here this morning is he wants you to understand, as each one of you look around, most of you are going to be leaders in here. You have to be strong in the power of God. You have to always continue to remind yourself who you are in Christ Jesus. You know, whenever everybody was coming against me, God gave me that scripture and I was going to write it down where he said, would you go out in the wilderness to see a reed shaken in the wind? And I says, no, but more than that, a prophet. And God said, daughter, I called you as a prophet from your mother's womb. And so, see, I know who I am. And then as years went by, God said, you walk in a fivefold ministry. So I know who I am. It's not because some man told me that. It's not because I wanted that, because I didn't want all that, because that takes a lot of responsibility. It's God who spoke it to me. Now, don't speak it to yourself. But when God tells you what you are, then you stand on that. I tell my family all the time, you just don't know what you just did. You got yourself in a whole lot of trouble with God right now because I'm his anointed one. And you better keep your mouth off of me. Then they really get mad. But it's the truth. It's the truth. It's all going to come back and bite you in the end. So I want each one of you leaders in here, I want you to quit coming against God's anointed. If you don't understand them, leave them alone. Put them in God's hands. Just leave them alone. God will take care of them. And don't tell God how to do it. Just say, God, I don't understand, but that's your child. You take care of them. And he wants you to be strong towers that others can run into. And the only way you can be that is if you don't judge God's people. Leave his anointed ones alone. All right? And I'm going to tell you, leader, something. You know, I was greatly anointed from the time God called me. And my mother said I was even anointed before then because I was different than all her children. But still and all, when I was called into the ministry, I didn't understand nothing that God was doing with me. He just did it. And there wasn't a preacher around this area that would even tell me what God was doing with me. Instead, they always put me down. And so right now, I shouldn't even be in this little rundown building. I should be in a big building. But because I believed other leaders, because I let them talk bad about me and let it hurt me, here I am today in this rundown building. Because I have family who don't really love me but say they do, and they keep coming against me, and relatives too. They keep talking about me behind my back. You know, it keeps the door open for the enemy. I'm just telling you what God showed me. It just keeps the door open for the enemy to come bombard me all the time. But God's closing that door, and they're going to be sorry they ever come against me. Now, that doesn't bring me any joy. Sort of. Because I feel sorry for anybody that did all that. It brought me to where I'm at. But I want you leaders to do something. Know who you are in Christ. And don't let what anybody says about you ever make you stop. See, this is what happened. I stopped doing what God called me to do. I sort of just backed off from the anointing. I backed off from all the miracles God was doing. And said, I said to myself, maybe I am doing wrong. Maybe this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. See, don't ever, ever, ever go there. Don't ever go there. Because if God called you, he called you to walk on all the miracles in the Bible. He called you to walk on all the fullness of the word. He called you to walk in total and complete anointing. Amen. And don't get yourself tied up with somebody you shouldn't be tied up with. Make sure that those around about you love you, work with you, and are not trying to steal the show. All right? So today, God just wants to strengthen each one of you who are a leader here today. He wants to give you a special anointing for special strength to go through the things you're going to have to go through in order to do the things that God is calling you forth to do. The battle's getting harder and harder. And if you don't have that special anointing from God, you're not going to make it. Do you know how many times I sit and just cry out to God and cry out to God? Give me more strength. Give me more strength. You know, people will try to heap on you things that will keep you bound up. Don't let them do that. I'm breaking all cords. They're not going to bind me up no more. I have a work for God to do. I have souls to win. And if you have a soul, you keep it. You know, you take care of your soul, and I'm going to get out there, and I'm going to take, and I mean if you have a child or a husband or a wife or whatever, you take care of your family. I'm going out there and take care of the family of God. It's time we get out on the street. Like we used to. It's time we start looking at, instead of those around about us or binding us up, look to the lost and dying who don't know Christ. So come on up. The altar's open. God wants to give you a special anointing to see you through the trying times that you're going to face. And whatever you do, do not allow anybody to speak anything negative into your life. I don't care who they are. Just keep going. If they're trying to tell you you're not doing right, then they're an antichrist. They've been sent into your life to destroy you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.